obtain additional copies, receive a free catalog of AA and Al-Anon talks, or to find out about our tape and CD of the month club, call Encore Audio Archives at 1-800-878-1308 or visit our website at www.12steptapes.com.
Hi, everybody. My name is Larry Thomas. I'm an alcoholic. And with the few minutes I have left, you know, for 15 years I've picked up this son of a bitch, and not one time has he ever come by and take me to a meeting yet. Promises my ass. I'm glad to be here. There's nothing more joyful than to stand up here and see people you've known for years come in and save their seats and duck out. They've been filing in and out, man. They're waving to me and shit, you know. We are the entertainment while you get your seat for Clancy, I guess, you know what I mean? It's like an elevator at Macy's or something. But I'm here to talk on the promises, and I tell you what, this morning, part of my routine for 33 years from my sponsors to do some morning reading. Before I even leave the door, if you don't got time to give a couple minutes to your father, I mean, where are you off to? And so I've dedicated a certain part of my morning to reading, and one of the books is the 24-hour-a-day book, which has been banned in a lot of houses, I guess. But this morning they talked about being spiritually guided, and I don't know what that means for you, but it means to me being service guided. It means there's work to be done, and whenever I share about something in our book, I always, and I've been taught this from my father in AA, that you always want to look where you're at when you're reading that book. Look where he's brought you when you're reading that. In our book, Alcoholics Anonymous, on the bottom of page 83, it says, if we are painstaking, now, I don't know about you, but that sounds like work to me, you know. And that's never been one of my, you know, my long suits is work. It drives my wife nuts, you know. And but she's nothing else to do, so, you know, I have her work on me for a while. But it says if we are painstaking through a certain phase of our development, and I'm new in Alcoholics Anonymous, and I'm not very educated, and so I was always looking up words and bringing them to my sponsor, you know, what complacency means and stuff like that. I mean, he called me complacent when I was 5 years sober, and I thought it was a compliment. You know what I mean? You're complacent, really. And good looking too, you know, I mean, you know. And Keith told me, he says, man, that ain't a compliment, dude, you know. It's like the house is burning and you're vacuuming, you know. So, I did look up the word painstaking, and it says giving it an honest effort. And I've never given anything an honest effort. If I don't get immediate reward, I'm out of there. See, it says we'll know peace. Book talks about we will know peace. He's always threatening you with that throughout the book. Oh, you'll have it. Oh, you'll know peace. Yeah, you'll know you don't have it is what you're going to know, you know. And I wouldn't know peace. I didn't know peace if it was to bit me in the knee. I know how to feel good. And that takes from the outside in. But that peace of mind that comes after a while in Alcoholics Anonymous is that thing that you have that no matter what you're doing, where you're at, and who you're with, you're all right here. You're God-centered. You know what your primary purpose is, and you know where you're supposed to be. You know, and I've never known where I was supposed to be, you know. Never in my life. I come to Alcoholics Anonymous in 1975. Brought out of a little courtroom where I was going to be 2.5 years in the penitentiary, and a Scottish man with a patch took me to my first meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I was ready for a long ride up north and maybe some lunch, right? And he takes me to a 15-minute car ride to my first meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. And he rolled up to this dingy, stinky, perverted little dirty Torrance Lamita Alano Club, you know? And I've never seen that word before, Alano. I don't know what that is, if that's like a elk or a moose or something, you know? You watch for crossing Alanos or something, you know? And he rolled up to this little club, and there's all the Alanos walking around, you know? Everybody had a nickname and a tattoo, you know, and a little lady named Indian Jeannie comes running across the parking lot, you know. I'm expecting a miracle. I said, my God, I bet you are. I said, you know, I'm not it, you know. Some transvestite came out of the card room. He starts circling me like a helicopter in Norwalk, you know, and comes up to me and he says, you know, I can't wait to take you to a candlelight meeting, you know. I don't think so, you know, not till I get a year anyway, you know. And I did what I've been doing my entire life from 1975 to 1982. I came in and out of Alcoholics Anonymous, which was the biggest lie that I told myself. I hadn't touched AA. What I'd done is what I'd been doing my entire life since I was 13. Whether it be a room from the city, the state, the government, the county, I've sat in rooms my entire life waiting for you to do something for me. Sat in these chairs waiting for you to do something for me. And what I was waiting to be done to me, God was waiting to do through me. That there was work to be done here. That there was actions to be taken. You see, and when we're in that part of that book, that phase that he's talking about, most people don't get there. They don't make it that far. They don't bother to make those amends. They don't bother to do that inventory. They don't bother to cough up some of the secrets, you know. And I remember going through that with my sponsor, making that list of amends. And for the first time in my life, I felt like I was going to be useful here. Where it says that your experience will benefit others. Make no mistake about that. I'm here because of your experience. What you guys told me. What I seen. How I seen my sponsor treat his mom in her final days. How I seen you guys handle your difficulties in life. And most important, your successes. Your experience, strength, and hope, I have been just glued to. Because I watch you like a hawk. I didn't concentrate on the promises. I didn't make that up. I didn't know what the heck they were. See, you guys got me so busy in AA with a routine of meetings and commitments and stuff. I wasn't thinking about what was coming and what was, I mean, you know, all these little goodies I get. I wasn't thinking about that. I was thinking about getting to my meetings. I was thinking about making amends. And the thing that became apparent to me was that I couldn't be wrong with people and right with God. That I had to straighten all that out. That in order for me to even know peace and to be useful, that I had to become responsible for my actions. You see, you told me that the word blame was going to be taken out of my vocabulary. That was no longer an issue. It was no longer a word in my life. And when I found myself, and I didn't run off to my mom and dad and make them my first amends, I'd been running around AA for so long that every time I stopped drinking, I would run to mom and dad. And by the time I got here, my sponsor says, why don't you leave them alone for God's sakes? He says, every time you mention you're in AA, they think you're going to get drunk again. Why don't you let them rest? Why don't you, if you're really concerned about them, just call them and ask them how their day's going. And leave it at that. There's nothing worse than somebody rattling on about AA to folks who've just seen you misuse it. You know, leave them alone. Ask them how they're doing. And I started making amends to people that really deserved it. Not some apologies. I started making amends to folks and bringing the checkbook. You know? And for the first time in my life, I saw myself serious about something for the first time in my life. I saw myself like I've never seen before. And that this wasn't some type of joke or anything like that. That my life really depended on me doing all these actions. And I've fallen in love with Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, I mean, when it says that, are these extravagant promises? Boy, they're out of the question for me. See, these all represented the reasons why I felt different. Every one of them is one of those things that makes me feel different inside, feeling useless, you know, and financial insecurity. All that stuff was one of my little differences to make me feel different than all you guys, you know. And they're not all gone. I still get plagued with stuff like that. There's no perfection up here on my part. Wasn't too long ago that my precious wife Rosie, you know, a little over a year ago, we ran into a little bind, and she was worried about finances and stuff like that, and she was afraid we were going to go broke and stuff like that. Just worried sick. And one night I came home from the Monday night meeting, and I grabbed her little hands, and she's got little hands. I grabbed her little hands, and because of sponsorship in a home group, and working with others, I was able to take her little hands, and because of sponsor direction, look her right dead in her little Nicaraguan eyes and say, honey, you don't have to worry about a thing. I says, we've got a program of recovery, and we've got a higher power and a God in our life. And I says, even if you have to work two jobs, we're going to be all right. That ought to do it. Took off, you know. I've never concentrated on the promises coming true. What happened to me is like what happened to a lot of folks in here, is you get caught up in living this way of life. You get caught up in doing these things and living in this routine that I used to just couldn't imagine how mundane. And yet, I've learned that over 33 years that there's nothing more crazier to be sober in AA and wondering where you're going to go on a Monday, or wondering where you're going to go on a Wednesday. And I've learned that there's nothing more secure to be sober and crazy and know where you're supposed to be in a couple hours. I live for that routine. It's a sense of security. And what's happened to me is I've been able to get a little bit of hindsight where I don't have to believe because you believe. I don't have to believe because I heard it on a tape. What happens is that your experience has become my experience. And I can actually look and say, my God, this thing does work. When all else fails, that's one of the greatest promises there is. When all else fails, man, practical experience tells us that nothing will surely immune from drinking than intensive work with other alcoholics. Are these extravagant progress? They'll materialize if you work for them. Nothing's automatic here. That's the story of my life. I've had my hand out my entire life. I'm a something for nothing guy. I've had my hand out my entire life, man. And this book promises us that if they will materialize if you work for them. And they certainly will. Nothing comes out of it. Bill Wilson didn't have a kaboom because he's laying in bed. He did certain things while he was in there. And for years, I used to think that that's what was supposed to happen to me. I'm supposed to have a profound experience like that. Some light, some wind, some tornadoes, all kinds of stuff happening, you know. And just two paragraphs down from when Bill has that magical moment, you guys nail me. Two paragraphs down while that man is still in that bed, the thought came to him that maybe he should work with other alcoholics. And it dawned on me that maybe that's what's supposed to happen to me. Maybe that's what's supposed to be happening to me isn't something profound, that maybe, just maybe, I'll be inspired to work with other alcoholics just for the hell of doing it and secretly knowing that my life depends on it. My life depends on everything but to have that merciless obsession that we talk about. And what's happened is, over these years, I began to see that I'll never get so sober that I can't get drunk again. But I can get so drunk that I can't make it back. And I never want to forget what that used to be like. to be sitting in the answer, looking for the answer, when all it took was for me to have that little fear taken away. The book talks about that these fears will be removed. And one of the biggest fears that I had was that I was going to drink again. 90 days was my limit. 90 days was my hurdle. I could never make it after 90 days. You know? And I don't have that fear anymore. I don't have that fear of drinking. I know I will. All it takes is for me to get wrapped up in the good life that I'm living. The good life is a killer for people like me. It kills more people than anything I know. They get blessed with all these little promises and all this stuff, and they forget to come back to the people that blessed them when no one else will. You are the greatest gift that I have. You are the greatest gift that I know. And to live this way of life and sponsor people just for the hell of it, man. For fun and for free, I've been taught. No hooks. Not looking for a ride to a meeting. You know? But just hoping one day, you know? My daughter taught me a little lesson, as they do. One of the amends that I had to make through that painstaking phase was to keep in contact with my little girl because of a nasty divorce when I was about 2 years sober, or 7 years sober. She was two, and my little daughter was taken to Arizona, and my sponsor told me, well, if you can fly to Ohio and talk, you can drive to Arizona and see your little girl.
To obtain additional copies, receive a free catalog of AA and Al-Anon talks, or to find out about our tape and CD of the month club, call Encore Audio Archives at 1-800-878-1308 or visit our website at www.12steptapes.com.
And he's right. And the women in Alcoholics Anonymous says, and in between those rides, Larry, keep in touch with her. Write her letters. Let her know where you're at all the time. And don't write her on yellow, you know, legal paper, you know. Write her on Pocahontas paper, you know. I mean, she's just a little girl. And I would write her those letters, and I would make that drive. And every drive across that desert, my head was thinking, man, what kind of a rotten dad are you? What kind of a rotten, no good, substitute dad are you? Where you got to go see your daughter 5 or 6 times a year and you left her. Just, you know, why don't you just turn around? Why don't you just turn around and leave? And this was just driving me nuts. I couldn't handle the guilt. And I remember one year me and Clancy were in New Mexico and we were riding back and I was talking to him about this. And I said, you know, I got to talk to her about it. I got to talk to her about what's going on. It's just driving me nuts, you know, and I feel so guilty. And he says, what kind of little personality does she have? Oh, and I said, oh, my Lauren she's the happiest little thing. She's just, every time I see her, man, she's just got this glow. And he says, does she have a lot of friends? And I said, yeah, she's got little gals that she runs with, and she's well-liked in school. And he says, how's she doing in school? Good grades? I said, she's at the top of her class. They want to bump her up. And he says, is her general personality pretty happy and outgoing? And I go, yeah. He says, why you want to go over there and ruin that? Why don't you just keep doing what you're doing, and when she gets old enough and curious enough, she'll ask you, and then you can lay this dialogue on her, you know what I mean? Well, I tell you, that consistency has been one of my daughters. In fact, she wrote it on a little card not too long ago. She says, Daddy, the thing that I love about you is that you never forgot me. You kept coming back and seeing me. And when I had this surgery this year, she was going through some terrible thing. Her mom was losing her memory, and she had to keep introducing herself to her mom and stuff like that. It's terrible. And she got scared because that was her rock. That was all she had. And now she was losing her. And I couldn't stand to tell her that I was going in for this surgery because I didn't want to scare her. She's having enough. And so in a general way, I kind of told her, well, I'm just going in for a little adjustment and stuff like that, and I'll be gone for a couple days, but don't you worry, Dad will be fine. And I was happy with that because she was happy with that, and I felt like I got one over and, you know, I don't have to scare her, you know. Well, I'm coming out of that surgery, and I got a zipper from here to here, and Rosie says, let's text her a picture of you, you know. So I got my shirt on and stuff like that, and I'm at the hospital bed, and Rosie takes a picture, and she shoots it off to Lauren, and Lauren sees this picture, and she texts me right back. She says, oh, my God, Dad, what the heck happened to you? She says, there's a slice in your chest, and I forgot to button up my shirt, and she could see that thing. And she says, you've got to call me right away. And I made that call. She says, what the hell are you doing? She says, you said you were just going in for a little surgery. She says, you didn't tell me it was going to be open heart and all that. She says, Dad, she says, you're all I got. You're all I have. I need to know the truth about you every minute of the day. She says, I'm not that 8-year-old little girl on the bike. No. In my mind, she'll always be that little girl. But she's an adult, and my sponsor told her, you need to treat her like an adult. That's respect. Sir, she'll always be your little girl in your heart. But in reality, she's a little woman. Give her the dignity. Give her the respect. And I tell you what, man, she knows where I'm at right now. I don't ever want my pride and ego to get in the way of being useful to that little girl. See, that's the thing. You guys told me that the defects of character will be removed so that I can be useful. And I got to remember my actions with her. Am I jeopardizing my being useful to her? You know? And I don't want to do that. So whether these promises come true in my life, I don't know. All I know is I'm living the best life that I've ever had because I'm staying around you and I don't forget where I came from. All those years I slid around Alcoholics Anonymous, I was telling them that lie that people like me tell people in AA who's not staying, that AA don't work for me. AA doesn't work for me. We hear it all the time. AA doesn't work for me. And I've come all the way from Lakewood, California, to tell the people out in the desert who are new that after 33 years, AA don't work for me either. It doesn't work for my sponsor. It doesn't work for my friend Daryl. It doesn't work for Walter, John. We work for it. And I had to grab and put my head around that. We work for it. To be spiritually guided is to be service guided. And for a guy who never believed in God and never believed in a higher power, to finally have this faith and peace of mind came only through commitments in Alcoholics Anonymous and dedication to a home group, because that's where I found my God. I began to trust my sponsor. I believed in what he was saying. He told me at 5 years sober, Johnny says, seek ye first the kingdom, kid. And I said, sponsor, I don't know what you mean. I've never even looked at a Bible. He says, Larry, put all your energy into staying sober, and the rest of your life will take care of itself. He says, you've got a primary purpose. And the moment you start peckering around your personal life, your AA life gets behind you. Your whole life becomes upside down. And isn't it amazing that the more I served you, the clearer he became. The more I serve you, the clearer my higher power became. And the more I serve me, the darker I become. If you're new in Alcoholics Anonymous, nothing comes just from sitting here. I didn't get sober to have all these goodies for myself. I got sober for one reason and one reason only, perpetuation. Perpetuation is the most magnificent thing there is here. And for me to live that type of life where I'm able to tell somebody about this miraculous thing called Alcoholics Anonymous and then take them to it on Monday night and then take them to it on Wednesday night and then take them to it on Thursday night. That is the neatest thing that I can do. You guys, your experience, you took time for me. And I can never, never repay that back, but by golly, I got to always keep trying. I have a magnificent life in Alcoholics Anonymous because I'm surrounded by you. I love my life here. And if you're new in Alcoholics Anonymous, all I can tell you is don't worry about promises. Worry about listening to your sponsor. Worry about where you're going to be tonight. Worry about making contact. Worry about keeping secrets. Come to Alcoholics Anonymous like your life depends on it, because secretly it does. Because it's just a matter of time. If you're not drinking and you're not doing AA, that don't matter how nasty that last drunk is, if you're an alcoholic like me, when you are sober, the only thing that sobriety ever squeezes out, suddenly the thought crossed my mind that maybe some milk and whiskey would be. My whole life is riddled with that. That no matter how nasty that last drunk is, and no matter what opportunities I have ahead of me, no matter what disasters are following me, my not drinking has always just squeezed out one thought. Suddenly the thought crossed my mind. I couldn't imagine without it, and I didn't know that I lacked the power to keep me from drinking, that it wasn't a matter of will, and that it wasn't a matter of circumstance, and it wasn't a matter of a God. It was a matter of lack of power. I can't of myself keep myself from drinking. I am a dead man without you. And when I resign to the fact that my life depends on being with you and serving others, before you knew it, I'm 10, 11 years sober, and I'm taking a look at some of these little problems. Oh, my God, I am useful today. And for a useless wino, goof, dope fiend, jackass like me to be useful just for a half hour. What a beachhead that is. Because I was doomed to be useful, useless, and nothing, and I had nothing to offer. And then everything that I need to make me happy has been given to me right here. And anything that hinders that happiness will be removed by me being here. So if you're new in Alcoholics Anonymous, if you're like me, you don't ever have to wonder where God is anymore. You're looking at the evidence. Sunday morning in Rancho Mirage, there's row after row of people who should be locked up, dead or insane. And look at us this morning. We're happy, we're joyous, we're free. I don't have to ever wonder what he's like or what he looks like. I just have to come back and play in the evidence one more morning. And I love you. Thank you very much.
Enjoyed this recording. To obtain additional copies, receive a free catalog of AA and Al-Anon talks, or to find out about our tape and CD of the month club, call Encore Audio Archives at 1-800-878-1308 or visit our website at www.12steptapes.com.